Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
And now, here's the guy who is not going to get medically evacuated from this arena tonight, unless all hell breaks loose. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome. How's everybody doing tonight? I am so excited here with you all in my new adopted hometown, Raleigh, North Carolina. I thought that this was such a fun episode to talk about here tonight, and this was my favorite episode here of this new season, so I think we're going to have a lot of fun. You all were cracking up through most of the episode. This was a wild crowd, so I'm glad you all enjoyed it too, but I am so excited to bring in the man who is going to join me here tonight, the man who said, hey, we've got to get a live show going here in the Triangle. And it makes me, one of the things that makes me sad about the new era is that we don't get a live reunion show. And you all out there in Fiji, you go there and you have a nice time and somebody gets $1 million, but you don't get to hear the crowd when everybody gets back together. And so, for the very first time, I want this guy to hear what it sounds like, to recognize what a great game he played last season. Please welcome my great friend, Jesse Lopez is here.
Can you unite me?
Yes. Okay, is that how this works? Is this how this works? Yes. Yes, oh. Jesse.
Is it on? It's not on.
Give it a second. Did you 3D print that?
I'd have to borrow it from Carson.
Yes, okay. Jesse, so great to see you.
Yes, I'm excited.
This is fun. Yeah, this is fun, right?
Yeah.
Did you like this episode?
This might have been, I'm going to say it, this might have been the best episode of the season.
I think this was such a great episode, and it's so weird, right?
No claps!
And it's so weird because this is an episode where we didn't have a tribal council. This is an episode where it really did break the format that we're so used to as Survivor fans, and personally, it was an episode that we didn't need a tribal council. We got across in the episode who was going to go home. Josh was going to go home at the tribal council. I don't even think it's debatable, right?
We don't know that.
let me ask the audience. Does anybody in the audience think Josh was not going home?
Oh. Wow. Fine, okay. I guess we know that. All right.
Yeah. So it's like an open and shut case, and I do think that, and we can be very critical of Survivor at times, even on this podcast sometimes. I have to say that I thought that maybe it was like freeing for them to not have to get into the like hide the ball of who's going home, that they got to like, and first off, like it was a hilarious episode, but I felt like that it was that they got to like be free of like sort of like trying to bait and switch us. And it was really, I thought, a very entertaining hour. I thought this felt like this was a 2-hour episode.
No, I think that's a good point. I also think that the fact that the journey was so advantageless was also a very good thing, right? Come on.
Right, right. I feel like, you know, sometimes this was brilliant that they did this, of that this was the change up of, instead of giving them more stuff in the game, give them nothing. And also, this was, I thought, the most entertaining piece of television that came out of any of the journeys by far. And I think that this is one of the all-time funniest scenes.
Danny and Brandon.
Yeah.
Good job.
You okay?
Yeah, no, that was great. That was... I don't know if that's how I would have handled it, but I, you know,
Which part?
They gave them this sort of situation, right? They're like, you know what? You don't have to like risk your vote. You don't have to do anything like that. And it was like, all right, just have a conversation. And
It went poorly. Yeah. No, it really seemed like in that conversation that, you know, Danny and Brandon just sort of felt like, well, Carolyn's getting voted out next. Well, because, I mean, one... woman, so, and she's not doing good in the challenges, so you know what comes next, right? It's like they didn't even like think that, like, oh, maybe she's gonna survive this vote.
Hey, Carolyn stands, stand up, please.
please, come on, stand up, thank you.
There better not be one person sitting.
Protect Carolyn at all costs is what I'm gonna just say right now.
No, she was so good, and you know, she's so expressive. I mean, she's such a find, and it was like so such great television to watch her react to. There was a point where she's eating that orange, and she's like sticking the whole orange in her mouth. She's like, a piece of the orange falls out of her mouth as the guys are talking about this, and she's like, wait, well, I'm here.
I have tattoos as well.
Yeah. Like, you're not even... And they're like, well, with all due respect, like, you need to worry about getting through tonight. Like, they don't know.
Hey, man. Yeah, that's not how I would have handled it, but...
Yeah. I mean, why do you think that Brandon even picked her if there was no thought? I mean, I don't know if it was like a group decision and that wasn't his call.
Hey, what was funny was that when they made the decision for Danny, Lauren said, like, we like Danny, so mm-hmm. we're picking Danny.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. That was like...
Yeah. Well, at first, it didn't even click to me that they were excluding Carolyn, because they're talking about like, yeah, you bring your people and we'll bring our people and we'll all work together. I'm like, well, that's everybody in the game. That's a 13-person alliance. That's not going to work. And then it's sort of like, oh, yeah, they're not. They're just talking past each other or talking past Carolyn and only to each other.
Okay. So we've been kind of dunking on Danny and Brandon. Could it have been that she's on a tribe with only 3 people?
That she's not bringing enough numbers. So, it's
enough
like,
numbers.
Hey, let's gang up
that?
And pick off the tribe of 2 people, because they wanted Josh. They're like, Josh, no, Josh, he's got muscles. He's good.
It's the muscles, I guess.
Yeah, he's good.
I would not have been recruited, apparently.
No, me neither.
Yeah,
no,
it wouldn't have worked out well for me.
Yeah, but that was my favorite moment from the season, and it was just it was so good, and it was just, to me, it was like such, like, I want to like let the powers that be know, like, you can do this. You can do this. You don't need all this other razzle dazzle.
Is that your love letter to Jeff?
Yes.
Is that what it's gonna be?
Yes. it's a backhanded compliment, but it's meant as a compliment. Like, you, this is what the show is supposed to be.
You don't need the 12 fake idols.
Well, we had fake idols tonight, and we had the best moment.
Hey, that was great.
We had the best moment with a fake idol in a very long time, right?
Yes. Are those beads from Tree Mail?
But Jesse, it's like that. It was great entertainment because we were laughing with Jam Jam and Carolyn.
Yes, we were.
Like they
quite
were
literally.
Like, when Jam Jam said, "Are those the beads from the Tree Mail?" This place went nuts.
We were laughing with Jam Jam.
We were laughing, you know, with the players. Like it was like it was a great moment that came out of a player. And credit to Josh, that's exactly what you should be trying to do with a fake idol. I made a video.
Did you believe him though when he was pitching the fake idol?
No, definitely not. When we saw,
what was his pitch like?
His pitch was...
There's some tells.
Yes, his pitch was, look, we know from Josh, not the most convincing liar that's out there.
This is true.
Yeah. And so but Josh, like, he did what you're supposed to do. I made a video about fake idols a couple of weeks ago about the right way survivors should be using the fake idol. And
definitely saw that one.
That's really what you should do. It's, you know, it's like the toy gun in your pocket, that it's good as long as, like, you don't have to actually show it to anybody. Like, it just might work. Josh had seemingly for a minute, like, bought himself at least some conversation with Jam Jam until he had to show it to people. Where were all the fake idols in your season, Jesse?
The fake idols? I had all the real ones.
You had all the real ones.
Thank you, Dwight.
Was anybody thinking about making the fake idols, or you were all too busy and just like moving around the real ones?
Cody did. Cody tried to make a fake idol. I think he actually did make a fake idol at one point.
And what did he do with it?
He didn't see a use for it, but...
He should have given it to you.
He probably should have given it to me. He gave me his real one, he kept the fake one. That's what happened.
Not ideal. You know, so this was an interesting episode, as we've been talking about, where Matthew went home in a medical evacuation. This was an unusual medical evacuation, but not one without precedent. We've seen a few different times in Survivor history where a person leaves the game and we don't end the episode on an elimination. Did it feel weird to you at all about how this was done?
The medical?
The way that the episode was structured in the medical evacuation.
It did seem like it was sort of, they just kind of let them play. It was, they kind of were like, all right, Tika, you guys fight amongst yourselves, and then we'll tell you that actually you're not going to tribal. It seemed a little weird.
It was odd that they did it on the beach. I can't really think, like, I've been trying to run through in my head the things that were like this. The first thing that came to mind was back in Survivor Samoa, where Russell Swan goes down in the challenge. Everybody sees that. Everybody's worried about Russell Swan. They bring everybody to tribal council. And I think that they ultimately at the end, I think they tell them that they're merged at the end of that. Is that right? And so that's what they do in that episode. The only other ones that I could think about that sort of end in this sort of a note, you have where Julie McGee quits in Survivor San Juan del Sur because she didn't want John Rocker to go on the pre-jury trip without her. Which really did save Jeremy Collins' life in the game for the moment. For the moment.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. And then Joe Dowdle. I'm sure Steven's talking about Joe Dowdle as we speak.
Is that the joint where he had the injury in the joint?
Yeah, and then Neil Gottlieb also is another knee issue. All those happened right at the merge. So this is an unusual one for pre-merge part of the game. But it was interesting that they let them strategize as if they were going to tribal council.
Yeah, they let them have fun and decide on who they were potentially going to vote out, and then we'll see what happens next. I don't know. The previews
looks like
on the same beach.
Looks like mergatory.
I don't know if it's merge, but they are
well,
living on the
definitely not a merge, Jesse.
Matter,
you right? Yeah, you know better than that.
The idols don't count anymore.
The idols will not count anymore, but they can be fake idols now.
There's a lot of fake idols.
There are a lot of fake idols. So let's just eulogize Matthew in the game for a minute. Let me hear what you think about Matthew.
I'm honestly gutted. I think that is a terrible way to go out, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think, me personally, I went through casting from 2019 until I finally got on, and to go through that entire process, to put yourself out there, to go through all of that pressure, stress, all of it, you're giving a lot of yourself to it, and then to go out that way, that is rough. That is not a great way to go out.
Yeah, so. you get the sense. I mean, his whole story was all of the things that he's done to prepare for being out there, and then like he's 3D printing the puzzle, and he's got the building the slide puzzle. I don't know. I don't know if he 3D printed anything.
He
built out of plywood the snake puzzle, and then you know he looked for idols. He hid fake idols. He played the shot in the dark to make his vote disappear. So this guy had like a super creative survivor mind. But we'll find it. We're recording this on Wednesday night. We might by Thursday morning hear that. I mean, Bruce already got the automatic invite back.
The Jeff podcast. We'll see what happens.
Yes. Do you think Matthew is going to get the automatic? Yeah, of course, I will have my exit interview coming up with Matthew as well on Thursday morning. But do you think that Matthew is going to be an automatic return?
Let's tweet it.
Audience, what do you think?
Take to Twitter.
Yeah, I really did think he brought a lot to the show. And I do feel like that he had the upside to be like a really good villain.
Yes. He did. Yeah, no.
I really did think that. I thought that he was like his mind was always my relationship with Jamie is I'm gonna like invest this time into her so I can get her to go and play pick up the fake idol. His fake idol lives on in the game.
That's what I was gonna say. Matthew lives on.
He lives on through Jamie's fake idol.
He's going to cause another moment at some point, potentially. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Cody did a lot of crazy things in Survivor, right? He too was climbing the rocks.
He was.
Yes. Was there any concern for his safety while he was climbing the rocks?
And that's who I chose to align with.
It worked out.
But I think production did try to stop Cody, and then Cody just ran over there and celebrated, apparently.
Yeah. Look, survivors, just sit in the shelter. You have one job. Just don't get medevaced.
I recall running to chase Cody with Dwight when he was like, "I'm gonna go jump off that rock."
And he went to jump off the rock.
Yeah, he told us, and he got down to his boxer, started running for the rock, and then me and Dwight started like trying to chase him and follow him. And I just remember Dwight looking over to me, and he was like, "Is this what it's like to have kids?" Kind of.
Yeah. How are you feeling overall about Survivor 44? Because this might be the end of the pre-merge that we saw tonight.
I think that this episode turned me on onto the season.
Yes.
Like, I think that the last episode was a lot of advantage. Like, they're just handing out the idols, what I was a little bit weird about. I think that just giving them the swap seemed a little bit like pre-designate. I don't know. It's just like, did they choose their path? Did they not choose their path?
Mm-hmm.
The note said you're going to a different tribe. It seemed very like sort of like production was putting the finger on the button. But I think that this episode, they really let the players play. It was even just with the journey. It was just have a conversation, and it provided great entertainment. It was great. So,
look, I feel like that we definitely have given Survivor 44 a lot of criticism for some things, but universally, people have said we love the players that are in this season, and we want to watch them get to play. And tonight was a great night for that. And so I really feel like that this was a little bit of a palate cleanser in terms of like all of the different maneuvering that was going on in the first 4 hours of the season.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was
I laughed a lot.
Yes.
Jam Jam provided a lot of laughs.
Yeah, and, great Jam Jam episode tonight.
He wanted to vote out the coconut tree.
Yes. Yes. Why don't we, would you like to talk to any of your friends, Jesse?
I would.
Yes.
Can we invite the person that I played an idol on?
Yes.
Please. Is he here?
I think so. Is,
oh, I heard is, him. I heard
is,
his.
Is the Night King here? Owen Knight.
No.
Come on. Give it up for Owen, okay?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Sia paid a lot of money for these guys to be here, okay?
Hello. Okay. Oh, it's on.
All right. Owen.
Yes, thank you, Sia.
Owen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. It's great to be here. What a crowd tonight. This is beautiful. It's amazing.
Yes. How are you feeling?
I feel great. That was a super fun episode. I agree with what y'all said. Like, not having tribal, I didn't really miss it. There was enough strategizing, enough personal content. Like, it was a really fun episode.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, rehash, like, things I've said, but, like, a lot of times I feel like that tribal can be, like, the least informative part of the episode. It's a lot of, like, you know...
Analogies? Like, tons of analogies.
Analogies, subterfuge, trying to throw off the other players, which is also trying to throw us off the scent. So I didn't miss it. I really didn't.
Completely agree. Completely
agree. This was fine. Would you two be okay with just some episodes where it's a foregone conclusion of like, yeah, it's this person tonight. Like, all right, end the episode.
Can we skip tribal?
Yeah, skip tribal.
Now, I've been watching some other shows like on The Challenge or other reality shows. They make it very clear like this person is going home and I'm okay with that. Like, that's totally fine.
But so then they got a shot in the dark.
Yeah. And just all the smoke and mirrors and the analogies and stuff, it gets to be a little much sometimes. Wait, so I agree.
Are you telling me you don't like Jeff when he goes...
The gargoyle.
The gargoyle. Yeah. So I want to talk about what was going on with the Jam Jam Josh whole. First of all, I mean, they had an amazing set of personal conversation in that episode. Again, I want to, this is a night, I'm going to give only praise to Survivor tonight because I think that these are the types of conversations that you wanted to have in the show when they went back and did everything with the diversity initiative and were telling all sorts of different stories on the show. So more kudos for Survivor. But in terms of like the gameplay that was going on, I thought that was really, really interesting where Jam Jam came in a very bad position into this episode and kind of was the swing vote.
Yeah, he ended up being that. I mean, it was really nerve-wracking going in because I've loved them both, Carolyn and Jam Jam, just watching through the season. Obviously, huge personalities. And I was torn on Carolyn's move last week, thinking, like, should she have told Jam Jam to vote for Sarah? Should she have voted for Josh and just told him to play the idol and not burn that bridge? Like, there were so many different ways that could have gone. But, yeah, watching him come into this episode feeling vulnerable, it was scary. So I'm glad he was able to kind of maneuver his position. But to your point about the backstory and the conversation they had, I thought they did a good job. It felt still a little bit of a hard pivot, but I'm glad they showed that quick sentence from Jam Jam saying, you know, Josh and I do have something in common. And then, you know, it didn't feel quite as shoehorned as some of the backstories have been over the new era. So I really enjoyed watching that.
Mm-hmm. Owen, I want to know from you, as somebody who has been on the wrong side of a vote, okay?
Couple. One or two, allegedly.
How did you feel like Jam Jam did coming back after that tribal council?
Yeah, far better than me. I mean, I was thinking back to when James tried to talk to me after one of the votes, and he's like, Owen, do you want to talk? I was just like, no, I don't want to talk to you. Like, yeah, I thought he handled it as well as he could. He tried to mend that bridge. He tried to build a relationship. What can I do? And, you know, being from the bottom position, he wasn't trying to overplay his hand and really truly say, like, I'm vulnerable now. I'm scared right now. But how can I help you? And how can we maybe fix this? So, yeah, I thought he did great.
Jesse, let me ask you the opposite end of that question, okay? So Josh is on the right side of that vote, okay? He ends up, that he plays his idol, him and Carolyn walk out of the tribal council, and they're, you know, thick as thieves, okay? How do you feel like that Josh handled coming back to that tribe?
It was great.
I personally would not have told Jam Jam, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
That was the one line that stuck out to me, was when he looked at Jam Jam and said, I just don't trust you. Mm-hmm. I always tried to come back after a vote and have one-on-one conversations with people that night, usually, and just being like, hey, look, this is my rationale, this is my reasoning, and I tried to pitch it in a way that also sounded good for them.
I don't know why they're leaving you out of so many votes, Owen. Weird.
I don't know who did that to you.
That sounded familiar. Have you heard that before? Yeah. So I thought that Josh really did not, I know he's only been with Tika for a short amount of time. I feel like that he did not learn the fundamental lesson that should have been learned from that previous tribal council of don't make Carolyn the decoy. Like, don't even entertain with Jam Jam. Jam Jam doesn't have an idol. Why is Josh even going down the road of like, hey, maybe we should vote out Carolyn, where now you have the open the door for Jam Jam to say, hey, Carolyn, guess what? Josh is telling me he wants to vote you out. The one thing, like, Carolyn, I think if she even, like, suspects that you're not 100% loyal to her, I feel like that is like opening the door for her to potentially go back against you. I mean, for that Josh, Jam Jam didn't even have to do that. She completely turned around on Josh from that he was friends with the guys that were at the feast.
He's muscular, good at challenges, and has tattoos. He's got to go, obviously.
Yeah, so I just felt like that really. I was like, Josh, why are you doing this? I feel like that, if anything, Josh's play should have been like, Carolyn, me and you, you know, we're BFFs. Like, Jam Jam is old news. It's us, it's us, it's us. They were trying to make you the vote, and then we had to come together. And I felt like that was a bad idea for Josh, and shows that he does not understand how to work with Carolyn.
I'll say, like, in defense of Josh, though, I think that one of the things that you want to try and do out there is have conversations with everybody, mm-hmm. and sort of keep that door open. And so him having conversations with Jam Jam and Carolyn, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, I agree. I mean, one of the rules, like,
but even about voting out Carolyn, where that you giving Jam Jam ammunition to potentially go back to Carolyn and say Josh is saying your name.
It's a tough spot, though, because it's right when Carolyn got swept off to the journey, it's literally just him and Jam Jam. It's like, who are you going to say that you're going to vote out? So
yeah, we'd be making fun of him if he told Jam Jam to his face that I'm voting for you. Like, I feel like that's one of kind of the Survivor 101 things, but it's hard. I mean, I think to your point, like, Carolyn is such a ephemeral player. You know, she can go up and down, and her emotions really are strongly felt out there. I think Your point is valid, but it's hard to just sit there, just two of you twiddling your thumbs at camp, waiting for the boat to come back. Like, I guess they could try to pass the time without talking strategy, but it's, what are you going to do? It's hard.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I understand it from, you know, Jam Jam's perspective, who's at the bottom. But as far as Josh is concerned, like, he's got this 2-1 vote, unless there was, like, reason for him to believe that Jam Jam and Carolyn had. Well, and we saw that there is a warm relationship, so maybe Josh was feeling more that there was a real possibility that Carolyn and Jam Jam were going to get back together. I want to ask you both about something that Danny said in this episode tonight. So we had our table maze. And at the end of the table maze, in the challenge, Danny said, wow, Jeff, I never thought that the challenges were as close, but they really are. Is that true?
They can be some really close ones. Our first challenge with the table maze.
That was not my experience.
That was a blowout. Yeah, our first
there
challenge.
There was a lot of not close challenges that were nail biters on TV.
Our first one, Coco finished their table maze about 45 minutes before Baka and Vessi did, and we're there just trying to do the Titanic pose and everything. That took forever. But we were talking earlier today about the final immunity challenge with the bowl stacking, and Cassidy's bowl, you know, she got her last one and, you know, started crying, and then it fell down immediately. Like, there were really some opportunities there. Like, she and I were neck and neck for a bit on that one, but other than that, it can be, yeah. That was a very close one that we saw tonight. It was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but that was remarkable for Danny to, wow, Jeff, it's really, I mean, that's a little bit of a teacher's pet, right?
I'm sure Jeff was pleased as punch to hear him say that. Yeah.
Like, wow.
I
didn't think it could be as exciting as it is on television.
Wow, Mr. Jeff.
What we did get, though, in that challenge was...
was a shot where it did, like, it was a great shot. And Owen, you pointed it out when we were watching. It was literally, like, from this side. You could see the balls kind of
that was really
rolling,
cool.
And it was very close.
Yeah. No doubt that this was a close challenge. I just don't know if I don't know if every challenge is a close challenge on Survivor.
No, not all of them.
Yeah, you lasted 3 hours longer than me in that underwater, so.
Mm-hmm. I guess that one was really close. That one was a tie, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Not between me.
Should we have any more of our friends join us?
Who's here?
There's a couple people. I thought I saw some cousins or something. I don't know.
I don't know if we can bring the cousins up.
Yeah. Why don't we mix it up a little bit and see if anybody's here from Survivor 42?
Oh my goodness.
Look who it is. It's Zach Wartenberger.
It's Omer.
It's Omer.
It's Omer Zahir.
Do we have a microphone for Zach Wartenberger?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, here. Come sit down. Come sit down, you young man. Okay. All right. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I'm at Rob Has a Podcast Live. Of course I am.
You're wearing a stunning emu shirt.
Thank you. No, I had to represent Canada since, you know, they're not here. They're not with us.
We'll be with them in a few weeks from now, but more on that to come. All right, Zach, how did you feel about tonight's episode?
I pretty much agree with everything that you all were saying, that this was...
You better.
That this was the best episode of the season because it was what I watched Survivor for, which is the funny moments, which is like... Oh, do we have a new mic? Oh, no.
Why are you looking at me then?
I thought it was the best episode, which for me is really funny because I can imagine right now on Fire with Jeff Probst, he's telling everyone like, woof. We really whiffed that one.
No. They're not talking about the episode. Okay. All right. Zach, I saw that you had tweeted about, you had some thoughts about the journey, the trek.
Yes. Yes. This was easily the best journey because we actually saw the players do things instead of just be given idols, which is what I personally love from it. I also think that something from this episode that really stood out to me, especially with 43, was that this was the return of the emotional montages.
And yes, yes.
I thought that they were heartbreaking. I thought they were like probably the second most emotional one I've seen, just to Dwight meeting Mitch McConnell. So I really felt for the players.
Only the second least popular figure from Kentucky. But yeah, we did get some of the montages back. But again, this was it was fine here because I felt like that we got to like learn more about the players, but also that we also had so many lighthearted moments that there was just so much comedy. Also, like in the season as a whole, there has been a lot of comedy here, and I do feel like that throughout the new era, I feel like that there has not been a lot of very light moments across the first three seasons in the 40s.
Yes, no, I mean, I think that they have done, in some ways, there have been good humorous moments throughout. I think we all agree Too Much Advantage is all that. What made this episode so special was there were just so many of them. I loved the parallel between the Carson and Kane conversation and the... Brandon and Danny conversation as like, as literally like the two different lunch tables at school. And what the discussion was. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say Tori trying to talk to you about Harry Potter to connect with you.
Yes, well that's the thing is that like, first of all, Tori got the wrong tribe because she would have fit right in with them. Tori would have been like, Fortnite?
Jedi?
Did you just say Fortnite?
Okay. All right.
Don't come for Fortnite.
Okay. Yeah, Jesse loves Fortnite. All right, everybody. Come on. We'll do that. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the other two tribes that we didn't spend as much time on. And over at Ratu, we saw a little bit of a meetup between Kane and Carson, as you were alluding to. Zach, do you feel like, is this going anywhere?
I think it definitely is. I think that Carson's played a really astute game. He's a really smart guy. We love Carson. Give it up for Carson. If I have one criticism for Carson.
Yes?
Someone, not the thirst traps.
Keep them coming.
He's killing.
Is it
he's killing all of us on Instagram. No, it's that this idea of downplaying your threat level, he really, really, I think that he thinks he made that. Because
with a 3D printer?
Because it is a very smart strategy, but he will walk us through step by step being the thing that they don't know. Is that I'm actually good at this game. Which is that's Survivor strategy. But he's pulling it off, and I cannot say that, so.
Okay. You know, it is interesting that Ratu tribe now, because we saw so much of it through the prism of Matthew's tribe, of Matthew is doing this, Matthew's playing the fake idols, Carson's here, Matthew's gonna talk to Carson. And now Matthew is gone, and what does that tribe look like going into Mergatory? I mean, really, we have not seen much of Lauren outside of that she had the bank of vote. We've seen Brandon. We know that he wants to work with the big, strong guys like Danny. And ultimately, other than that, we have Kane and Carson, and Jamie has jumped ship. So I feel like that Ratu is in a lot of trouble, the original Ratu going into Mergatory.
I just think it's such a big loss because I genuinely, genuinely felt like watching the show so far that Matthew was like the star player for me in my eyes. Every single thing he was doing was so much fun. The fake idol, the risking your, using the shot in the dark as a way to lose your vote so that you don't have to reveal your cards. I feel like just everything we saw from him was so smart and so interesting. And I'm really bummed out that we're losing him so early.
No, it's really a bummer to have him go out in this way. And why do you have to climb the rocks? Stay off the rocks. You never thought about climbing the rocks, right?
It's like what Daniel Strunk says, never go to rocks.
And never hurt your shoulder also. Those are the Daniel Strunk big two rules. All right, so now we do have a showmance brewing on the show with Matt and Franny, but we did have a island marriage in Survivor 43. Jesse, would you like to introduce your island significant other?
X. We're working it out still.
So yes.
It's going to get awkward.
Coming to you from the Pineapple Zone, here he comes. Dwight. Yay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, take my chair. Dwight, how are you doing?
Good. I heard them talking about me up here, so I had to join to defend myself.
Only good things.
Uh-huh, only good things. Right. But yeah, this episode was amazing. I loved it. Okay. You two, talking. I'm not getting cut off. Cool. So unlike Survivor, I can talk here. So yeah, it was great. No, yeah, this episode, I loved it, honestly. It was great. Even though there was no tribal, it was great to see all the strategy and all the lack of advantage introduction this time. And it was just pure gameplay. And yeah, it was interesting, you know. Good to see that in a new era for the first time in a while.
How did you feel about we had with this new Ahsoka tribe. The inclusion now of Jamie has like completely jumped ship to be part of like the Good Vibe tribe.
Yeah, Jamie's fit in perfectly on Ahsoka, I feel like. If they went to tribe, I don't think she'd be in any danger whatsoever. She seems to fit in really well, especially with the breastwork vibes going on there. It's like, seems really perfect for her. And even though she wasn't on the tribe originally, I feel like that's like the best fit possible for her.
Yeah. Well, and that's also something that we haven't talked about, where that Matthew was her anchor to Ratu based off of what we've seen. And now with Matthew out of the game, with Plant Daddy gone, Plant Lady is going to be sprouting new legs. Is that plants?
Plant Mommy, not Plant Lady. But yes.
I thought she's Plant Lady.
Plant Mommy.
Plant Mommy.
I think it's Plant Lady and Plant Daddy. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Plant Lady. But yeah, so I really think that she's gone. She's gone. She's gone to Ahsoka.
Yeah, 100%. She's with Ahsoka forever. I feel for a while she's going to stick with Ahsoka over her original tribe. But we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Jesse, what do you think is going to happen here at Mergatory? Because again, now we're going to have the thing where we're going to get split into 6-6. But it seems like that, you know, Ahsoka may have does all of Ahsoka want to work with Brandon and Kane and Lauren?
Wait, do we know they are splitting 6-6? Is that something we know for sure?
How many people are left now? Is it?
It's 12.
It's 12.
Okay, split 6-6.
Is it 12? Wait, hold on. Do we have an hourglass potentially? Is it? It's 12.
Please no.
Okay. Yeah. So it's down to 12. So it'll be 6-6, right? And then ultimately, like, we're gonna have to, you know, have that first vote.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Ahsoka has the most numbers, right? So yeah, it's Ahsoka, Ratu with the second most, and then Tika has three. I think that the Ahsoka and Ratu are probably. My prediction is Ahsoka and Ratu will try and gun for each other, and Tika will be in a very good position.
So you think that even after the summit that we saw tonight where Danny and Brandon got together, that you think they might be going after each other?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well it'll go, you know, when they're having conversation. They might be too deep into each other's eyes.
Owen, what do you think, in terms of what Carolyn learned tonight, do you think that, you know, she enters the Mergatory potentially as a person like, hey, all these guys, they're trying to work together. We need to get this other group.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the play. I mean, it's going to depend a lot on how the 6-6 get splits up, because it did look like Ahsoka was excited to see that Josh survived that tribal council from the episode prior. So it really just depends on who's on the table. But I think that's a really obvious move for Carolyn to try to rally the troops a little bit and get, you know, a coalition together against what Josh, the Meat Brigade, I think is what
it was. The Meat Brigade. Yeah. Zach, how is that not already a Big Brother alliance?
Oh, because it's... They would describe every alliance. There would be no one else. Yeah. Would you consider this to be a Meat Brigade right now?
Yes. Well, no. It's very unfortunate. We had several women that were going to be part of this panel, and they were all voted out before we got to the show tonight. It's very sad.
I just want to say to all of the men out there who want to go play Survivor. Getting voted out pre-merge isn't that bad. Try it out.
It's a great place to meet some women, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Great vibes in Ponderosa, 100%. Gotta love it.
Yeah. Dwight, do you have any other feelings about Survivor 44?
From this episode alone, I think... Like, the first thing I thought of when I saw the new journey, like, this, they went on the new journey, and it was just straight up no advantage talk. It's, you know, only eating. And for future seasons, future players, they now have a reasonable lie to give. Like, they can now claim, like, oh, it was nothing for us, too, just like it was on 44. So I think you might see people being more aggressive and wanting to go on these.
It was a Meat Brigade.
Was a Meat Brigade. And they managed to bungle just eating lunch. But,
yeah.
I think nowadays, like on our season, I'm not sure if y'all agree, but like we'd seen 41, 42, we all knew the precedent was you're going out and the journeys most likely have advantages. And coming back, you have a huge lead on your back from doing so. Now players might want to go and still get those advantages, but also they know they have a pretty good lie to fall back on of like, oh, in like on 44, they just went and ate lunch. We had something similar, or there was nothing for us too. So it kind of opens up more gameplay options for future players.
Jesse, that why didn't anybody come back and say, smell my breath, okay? I've been eating chicken salad wraps all afternoon.
Maybe the new strategy is to just burp into people's faces. I don't know.
I mean, you can come back and tell the truth about your journey. People still won't believe you sometimes, so it happens.
That, you know, but something that
I think towards him, by the way. I was
your clothes dried too quickly.
No, it's okay.
But something that you know, for survivors and for the most part, that you have a very heightened sense of smell after a while, right? You can smell what somebody has been eating.
I can smell fine right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. What I will say is that when people get voted off of Ponderosa, or not voted off Ponderosa, when they get voted off and come to Ponderosa, you can definitely tell the difference between the person who was just in the middle of the wilderness and the person who was just at the spa. So there's definitely like an absence of smell that you get once you're there for too long.
Okay. Now, we have on this season that there is a young man who is 20 years old on this episode or this season of Survivor. So maybe to help us get some perspective on that, we've also invited two people who played Survivor in their teens to join us as well. Are they ready to go? Okay. Please welcome... from Survivor 43, the 27-year-old Sammy Lady.
Yeah.
Doing the gritty. He's got the gritty going on. And then.
Thanks, bro.
From the edge of extinction, Keith Soel is here. Give it up for Keith, come on. Okay. Yeah, here, come over here, Keith.
You want a mic?
Yeah. We have, so many people, only so many microphones. yeah. Anyway, all right, so first off, Sammy, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. After tonight, though, is it really the best idea to have seven dudes up here?
The new meat brigade.
Where are the ladies at?
Okay, all right. Look, what are you gonna do?
Very representative.
All right, now, Keith, so happy that you're here. How are you doing?
Doing good.
He's got his own mic. He's got his own microphone.
Yeah, no, doing good. Just coming from Fayetteville, so not too far, you know, hometown of the Queen Sandra. So yeah, doing good. A great episode. Agreed with everything that everyone said so far.
Keith, I want to ask you that in another lifetime, or maybe that it was in your lifetime, could Reem have been another Carolyn?
Oh my God, yes, 1,000%. Just even just watching Carolyn, like I see so much of Reem and just watching the episode, I was already like thinking throughout my mind, like put those two on the same log and like that's TV gold. That is everything. Just to see them bounce off of each other would be amazing.
How are you feeling about this season?
I love it. Just like I feel like the cast is really just lovable. Just getting to know them, and just like as you all said, like this episode, seeing it without the advantages and see them actually be able to play the game and have the conversations and that just be enough. Just be enough is awesome.
Sammy, how do you feel like Carson has been doing as the youngest player in the game?
You know what, man? I'm very impressed with Carson, but what I'm more impressed with is Brody's biceps, man. He's looking great. I think Carson has put himself in a really good position in the game, which is tough, right? Like, it's tough, but hey, man, Carson's putting on for the youngins out there, I'll tell you that much.
Is that what you experienced during Survivor 43?
Well, I wish people told me more about my biceps. I got a lot about my quads, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
It's the quads.
Hey, you make some noise for my quads now. Come on now. Yeah. Come on.
Sammy, what else have you noticed about Survivor 44?
Yeah, so, like, besides, you know, the yada yada, biceps, great stuff, like,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Like, the game is tough. It's really mentally draining and very hard. And somebody like me, like, I like to run up and down, like, do all this kind of, and I didn't really do it out there because it was tough. But I see, like, every time somebody like Jam Jam comes on the screen, man, I just start smiling. It's just, I don't know if it's the beard, the hair, like, but it's like the environment, like the free spirits out there. Everybody just playing, but they're having fun, which is actually really hard to do. Yes. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. We want to start to invite people from the audience to ask some questions here. So if people want to start to make a orderly line down here, Sam Moore is going to be helping to facilitate some of your questions. Sammy, do you have a question for the panel?
Good for you.
Sammy from Survivor, do you have a question for the panel?
Oh, yeah. I got a question for the panel.
Oh God. Yes.
My God.
All right, man. So, on behalf of everybody here.
Get on stage. There's no
yeah, I don't know
there.
If we can see
There's
you no over there. Stay over here.
On behalf of everybody here.
Yes.
Who is winning Survivor 44? I think that's a good question. I want everybody's answer. I want everybody's prediction.
Okay, Owen.
I'll go with Franny.
Ooh.
Carolyn.
Yes, Dwight.
I think Lauren said that pretty well. Yeah, Lauren.
I'm trying to think who's the Gabler of the cast. Who's it gonna be?
He's hiding.
I'll say, based on purely biceps alone, Carson.
I think the game is a lot about information, and I feel like somebody who's really handled getting a lot of information really well is Carson. So I'm gonna go with Carson.
Okay. Carolyn was my winner pick before the season. I don't think I can change it, right? I gotta stick with it. Yeah. What about you, Sammy?
Dr. Will.
You said
in
Dr.
All seriousness,
Will?
In all seriousness, I don't know, man. I got to go with Carolyn, man. I got to go with Carolyn, man.
Okay, all right. Sam Moore, let's go to for question number one for the panel.
All right, my question to you.
Please tell us who you are.
My name is Cassie, and
Hi, Cassie.
I live in the Triangle area. And my question is, since this was a new journey that they got to go on and kind of a twist, we didn't get to see Danny and Brandon go back to their tribes and see what they said to their tribes. So my question is, what do you think would be in their best interest to say to their tribes, and what do you think you would have done in that situation?
Okay, well, I feel like that there's no incentive to lie about that what happened, correct? And maybe people might get annoyed at you, but it's like, hey, we didn't pick what we got to do. Like, we got to, they didn't tell us, right?
Yeah, I can absolutely see Danny going with your burping strategy of just be like with his breath work and everything. He just,
smell my breath.
I had a chicken wrap. We're good.
I think like, naturally you want to tell the truth because like there's no reason to lie about that. But also the concern is, what if they don't believe me? Because for them, there's no precedent for just like, go on a journey and yeah, just chill and eat and talk, like why not? But if you have like food in your teeth, then yeah, just go for it, show them, be like, I can literally physically prove it, please believe me. But without that, yeah, it's concerning if you go back and the truth sounds like a lie. So that's a big concern.
Keith, what would have happened if somebody got a free lunch on the edge?
If someone got a free lunch, oh my God, that would be life-changing. It's just like, no, y'all don't understand. Making that trek up and down for this much rice takes everything out of you. They would be reborn. freaking free lunch. But to answer that question, though, I feel like in that situation, there's like, just like Dwight said, there's no reason to lie. And if you're Danny, or Brandon, you should be telling your allies, hey, I just made another ally out there. That's for us.
Okay, great question. All right, who's next?
Hello, hello.
Tagwith, how are you?
Hi, my name is Tagwith. Thank you. So I just wanted, first I want to start off with saying Team Claire. But secondly, I did that for the woos. Secondly, we got to see kind of like behind the curtain of, the production talking about Franny, like, oh, I see that you're blushing. How do we, number one, as players, how is that like?
Oh, you know, actually, I don't know if you all in the building could hear that. There was two different moments also in that episode where they said with Franny, oh, I see that you're blushing. And then the producer talked to Carolyn also? Maybe I dreamt that.
I think she did.
Yeah. Yeah. In the premiere. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like having fun with the editing. So how do you feel like, number one, you played, obviously, so you know how production like talked to you, asked the questions and things like that. So how do you like, watching that on the television screen and seeing that like behind the curtain?
I think it's super fun. I love the producers. I thought they were really cool. Like, you're talking to them in confessional for 30, 45 minutes sometimes. So I'm glad to see that some of that's making. Because, like, that moment with Franny, I thought that was fun. That was cute. Like, it added to the episode. But I'm glad they're not doing it every single time.
It's triggering. No, I think that it's super fun. I also, one thing I do want to point out, it's kind of, like, separate. But Jam, it wasn't a confessional, it was just him at his camp saying, like, that idol is definitely fake, right? He's just talking to the camera. It wasn't a confessional. I just thought, I enjoy the sort of, like, variety that they're adding to it.
It fell apart.
Yeah, I've been really a fan of, I think in the new era, more than anything, these little editing quirks, these funny moments that they're making by playing with the show itself. It's also fun to kind of get to see behind the scenes, because I know as a fan, one of my biggest questions always was to like see how they do the confessionals. And it was like so much fun getting to like actually be a part of that process with a like Tiny and have them. Basically, what's interesting about it, thank you. What's interesting about it is that you give them the content and then they take it to that extra level. I would be complaining about, I don't know, Roxroy, for instance. And they would be like, so what you're saying is that Roxroy is being really bossy and annoying. And I'd be like, yeah, I guess I am saying that Roxroy is really bossy and annoying. And that's how they get those sound bites. So I love that they are showing a little bit of that and how they operate.
Yeah, and I think that playing with the edit, I think we're all on board for. You want to, like, mess around and experiment? Like, how about mess with the edit and not the game so much? Like, we're okay with that. We're okay, but go to town. Go crazy. Okay.
Hello. My name is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello. First, I want to say that I think this episode showed me that I might be open to non-elimination episodes.
Oh, it's the Australian Survivor era of Survivor.
It should be.
I mean, technically, there was an elimination, but yeah. I hear you. We didn't miss Tribal.
Correct. But my question is, what do you think happened to Matthew's real idol?
Oh, good question.
If they didn't show it, I'm just going to assume he left with it and it's just out of the game.
If they didn't show it, I'm going to assume that Jesse has it now.
Yeah. So, do you have it? Search him. Search him. Check his bag. Check his bag. Yeah. And while you be the lookout while we check his bag, okay? But in terms of like a precedent for the medical evacuations with an idol, Colton had one, didn't give it to anybody. Neil Gottlieb also had one, didn't give it to anybody. There was nobody around, but that is a good question for the exit interview to ask Matthew. Yeah, ask him if he would have given it to anyone.
So hi guys, my name is Kalen, and before I ask my question, shout out to two of my favorite Survivor players that can't be here, Ryan, my cerebral palsy brother, and Noel.
Okay.
And My question for you guys is, I kind of just had this thought come to my mind with this episode, with Carolyn and Jam Jam being such entertaining characters. What do we think about the possibility of an Island of the Idols type season, but instead of Boston Rob and Sandra, we get Carolyn and Jam Jam?
Wow. All right. Now, Keith, you like it. You like this a lot.
1,000%.
Okay. You're all on board?
We approve down here, yeah.
I think that to that idea, Jeff needs to pay this man, and
pay this man.
And Carolyn needs to pack their bags, man.
Yes.
Hi, my name's Addison.
Hi, Addison.
With Murgatory seemingly looming next week and Jeff having said that it's not going anywhere anytime soon, do you guys have any ideas of ways that they could make it a little more different just to mix things up, or is it always going to be the same?
Can I just get a quick consensus from the panel and you guys who went through it? I don't mind Murgatory so much. I think it's I think it's dumb, the idea of earn the merge, but of all the of like the many twists in the new era, Murgatory is one that bothers me the least.
I'm good. I think I don't need to speak on this one.
Yes. Okay.
I don't hate it. I mean, there are far worse things they could do. I mean, like a
it's fine
turning hourglass. Yeah.
Justice for Dwight.
Yeah, he was an emergatory boot. Here, go talk in the microphone.
No, it's fine. No, it doesn't need to be a microphone. But I don't know, as a concept, I kid, but I don't hate it wholly. I just kind of wish, if they're going to do a split, like some people safe, some people not, that could be, you know, once they earn the merge and, you know, in the merge and the jury and everything. But I'm going to stop speaking before I say too much.
Mergatory just needs new branding. Like, let's call it like two tribes, one beach. You know, it's a basic, it's one world.
One
you know,
world,
it's if you, do, yeah, if you do, I think Mergatory is just like that people don't like the idea because the hourglass, it needs a rebrand.
I just think that there's like, it's because I don't hate Murgatory either. It's just one of those things that's not necessary in the same way that, like, is Sweat versus Savvy necessary for Survivor? Is anyone sitting there being like, I cannot wait to see if they choose Sweat versus Savvy? I cannot wait to see what the Murgatory groups are going to be. Like, it's fine. This one doesn't break the game, but it's not, I'm still not a fan of it personally.
I got an idea, Rob.
Yeah.
Yo, so for Murgatory, just a really quick idea, save a lot of time, a lot of money. You could do a little word puzzle. Last one to finish it is out. We'll call it Mergel.
I like it. I like it.
It took me like 10 minutes to think of that.
Mergel. Give it to Owen. You ready for Mergel?
Yeah, I'm ready. I've been doing my Wordle.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, my name is Jordan. I just moved to Raleigh at the start of the month.
Hey, Jordan. And, welcome.
And I use they, them pronouns. Shout outs to Dr. Evie Jagoda.
Yes, shout out to Evie.
So my question is, do y'all think there was like something, anything hidden amongst all the sandwiches and goodies at the lunch on the trek, or was it just a lunch with nothing extra fun?
Yeah.
They could have rehidden the inheritance advantage. I was surprised we didn't see that come back, because with us, when Gio left with knowledge is power, they just dropped it in the water well at the merge, and they're like, no, we want this in. So, I mean, there's the precedent with the idol in the food, with the fish in 42, so.
Sure. Yeah, Zach, do you think years from now we'll hear on the On Fire podcast about the super idol in the potato salad?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, I mean, there's always something. There probably wasn't anything here, but it made me think one cool journey they could do is if they just arrive and there was just an advantage just sitting in front of them. And all of a sudden, it's the three of them. It's like, all right, one of you gets this. Decide. That would be anything that lets them make a choice is awesome. We love that. Or this. This was great.
Okay. Hey, guys. My name is Jacob. So run it back to episode one. I was wondering if Brandon ended up playing his shot in the dark and then his idol, say it didn't work, he doesn't have a vote now, do Maddie and Zane pull rocks or do they go to fire in the first episode?
Hold on.
Does that make sense?
Just give it, that's a very complicated scenario for without a pen and a paper. Say it one more time.
So Matt couldn't vote, Lauren couldn't vote, and Jamie didn't vote. right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Brandon, he played his idol, but say he wanted to save it, so he plays a shot in the dark instead first. Doesn't hit, but he doesn't have a vote now. So only two people that could vote, they both vote for Brandon.
So he'd be safe, and then it's what, one vote for Maddie, one vote for...
Maddie and Kane can only vote for each other. Do they go to rocks?
No, only Brandon's safe, right? Because Brandon's jamming safe.
Yeah, so do they re-vote? Okay.
They re-vote.
Yeah, you know, send this question in on the feedback show when we have more time.
I can go through this with
We're losing people. I saw two people leave. Yeah. Okay.
Would it be fire making?
Okay.
Hi, my name's Kate, and I am asking this question entirely to hopefully hear a Rob impression. What are your opinions on three people who switched tribes getting idols versus way back in Pearl Islands when the outcasts came in and everyone knew they were safe when Burton and Lil came back in? Do you think it's better or worse, the idols that Josh and et cetera got? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, why didn't we get any idols? Why didn't they bring us back sooner? I'm not dead. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. And this, you can't see him. This man has invented the buff sleeve. Okay. So first. Okay. Last couple of questions. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my name's Drew. This was a big talking point through the episode, and I'm just curious if anyone on stage has a favorite Pokemon.
Yes. Well, my favorite Pokemon is actually my email password.
I'm sorry.
Which, now that I said that, I probably shouldn't say who it was.
Don't give that out. Don't give that out.
That being said, one Pokemon that I think is very underrated is... Let's do something from the new one.
I love this
is great.
I don't know Pokemon. I'm sorry. Pikachu!
Yeah, running out of time on the Pokemon questions. Okay. Was there Pokemon in this episode, Jesse?
Yeah.
There was? They did?
Kane wanted to know Carson's favorite type.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes.
Hi, my name is Adam. And my questions follow up to his. Can we brainstorm a name for Kane and Carson's little alliance they have going?
Ooh. Kane and Carson. Kane and Carson.
Oh my gosh.
Kane and Carson.
We talked about
the golden doodles.
Is that golden what doodles. Golden. Yeah. Okay. all right. We'll workshop that. Okay. I'll get you an answer by the feedback show. Okay. All right. Last question.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie.
Hi, Mackenzie.
So, pending everyone's availability, do you think that Jeff would ever let Mike White executive produce a season of Survivor?
So. This is pending? Like, would Jeff step aside?
Like, tech avails. Yeah, just step aside.
I don't think that that would happen, but I do think... I do think that if Jeff ever did want to step aside from the show, I do think that that would be a very... I don't know if they could get Mike White to be the EP of Survivor, but he loves Survivor so much, like, he might want to do it. Does anybody have a thought on that? I don't know. Yes. Okay. All right.
Wait, Jennifer Coolidge on Survivor.
Sure. We have Survivor. Carolyn. This is as close as we're getting, Jesse.
Yeah, that's the closest.
Okay. All right. Jesse, do you have any other final thoughts about tonight's episode of Survivor 44?
You're going to close out with me?
Yeah. You brought us all together. Because I adore Jesse. I am so happy that the universe put me in a place where I found out that I moved to a new city and that there was gonna be a survivor from the new season that was gonna live near me. And I was like, I was terrified. I said, what if this person is a loser? What if this person is crazy? Like, what if I gotta like avoid this person? And like the greatest guy there lives near me.
I'm gonna cry. It's not very hard to make me cry, but
yeah. And Jesse said we gotta do it. We gotta do a live show. And I said let's do it. And here we are.
Yeah. I wanna actually. Dwight, I'm trying to get your forgiveness for what I've done to you in the past. So I just want to let you close out the show because Dwight.
Oh. I think you're going to propose to him again.
You got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, give it.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to start to wrap things up. Okay. Does anybody else on the panel have anything else that we didn't cover tonight?
I mean, listen, man. Hey.
Sammy, could you give us your final thoughts?
Final thoughts, I'll be very quick. I'm not going to be like these guys. I don't know why they don't want to talk, because I love the attention. So, no, in all seriousness, great episode. Yeah. Let's see what happens next time on Survivor.
All right. Okay. So, thanks to this amazing panel for being here. Any shout outs here from the panel?
Shout out to Fortnite and Mr. Beast.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to give a shout out to a patron who is not here, which is Mrs. Stephanie Wurtenberger, the biggest fan of everything Rob Has a Podcast does. So I hope you're enjoying it.
Check out Owen. Last week was on the No Buffs Survivor podcast.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
In person.
It was a good time. I went to their garage in Atlanta. It was fun. But yeah, I just want to shout out my fiance, Sammy, who's here, who made the trip with me, getting dragged around the country going to Survivor events. And yep. My other Sammy.
And Keith, can I share what you told me earlier tonight about what you just had come out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Oh, you tell everybody.
Got to release my first book back. Hey. Yeah. Yes, it's a 30 poem journey that follows mental health and such. And Survivor does get referenced. So,
where can people find it?
On my social media or my website. The website is simple. It's just KE first initials sowell.com. KESowell.com.
Awesome. Thank you all for coming up and being part of this panel tonight. I had so much fun. Thank you all for coming out and spending time with us. The party is not over tonight. Next adventure, can we get Sammy in the bar? Yeah. We're gonna find out.
If anybody has an idea I can use, I appreciate it. I'll give you a free signed Survivor 43 buff from Sammy Liotti.
Okay. We got a lot coming up on RHAP as well. If you are here with us tonight, then you could not hear Stephen Fishback with your friend James Jones on the Know It Alls tonight. Check that out. And then I will have my exit interview with Matthew, and then I'll have the Survivor Feedback Show on Monday night with Jason Reed, plus everything else in our Survivor podcast feed. Thank you all so much for joining us. Good night, Raleigh.